welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, possibility, interconnectedness, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sitarani Palomar.
Today's topic is the change within, sustaining intentions and resolutions. We're looking at the third week of the new year, our commitment to ourselves and others, our New Year's resolutions, and why some of them are so hard to keep. And of course, what we can do to keep them.
Yeah. And, you know, listening to that, I was just reading the other day, there was a study at the University of Washington that from 1997 to 2011, so 14 years, right? They asked people, you know, about New Year's resolutions. And it's interesting what they came up with. 63% of people say that they are keeping their resolutions after 2 months.
That's impressive, maybe surprising.
That's a lie.
that was very much a surprise to me. 67% of people make three or more resolutions. And the top four resolutions were to increase exercise, be more conscious about work or school, develop better eating habits, and stop smoking, drinking, or using drugs. And the last thing that they had in this short little part of the article was people make more resolutions to start a new habit than to break an old one.
I think that's really great, Helga. Sounds a little skeptical.
Was that timber growling or something there?
I think that that's really encouraging because it is better to think about moving forward. You know, instead of saying, I'm going to stop eating pastries, you're going to say, I'm going to eat a piece of fruit. I think that that's more sustainable. But I can say, certainly from experience, that, you know, for 3 or 4 years in a row, I had the exact same resolution every year. I'm going to do it this year. Well, that's got to be some kind of hint to me that I had not yet been
After
successful.
After a decade, it's good to review that and say, it hasn't happened yet.
Let's see, what should I do about this?
Something else I can do.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. But first, actually, before we dive into that topic of New Year's resolutions, we want to thank you, our listeners, for a fantastic last year. We had so much fun bringing you this show every week. And some of the things I personally enjoy the most is the interaction with you, our listeners. We got such wonderful feedback throughout the year, comments and suggestions. For example, over the holidays, we got several emails correcting me for the tea show that we aired in, when was that, December?
In December. Still, Helga? I know.
Yeah, almost half a dozen. A few weeks back, in regard to the Latin name of the tea plant, which is where all leaf tea comes from. Great show on tea. If you haven't heard it, we invite you to listen to that.
And forgive Helga for saying.
Yes, the correct name, the Latin name of the tea leaf plant, of the tea plant, is Camellia sinensis. And I believe I said Camellia sensis. So my sincerest apologies. The excitement about that show took the best of me in that moment. I wasn't focused on
the Latin, you know, name. Camellia sensis would have been, you were just counting all the tea leaves, make sure that
makes,
you knew.
It made a lot of senses then to me, but just to set the record straight, it's Camellia sinensis. And what was the name of the tea show?
The tea show, Taking Time for a Cup of Calm or something like that.
For tea, a cup of calm in a busy world.
Hallelujah.
That is Kristen.
Is that your other ego coming in, Sitar? What is that?
That must be my better half and my prettier half, might I add. That's Kristen Ponger, our associate producer.
Yes, thank you, Kristen. And that show aired in early December with a wonderful guest, Emmabet Bellingham, who founded and started the tea company Desta Epicures Guild. Wonderful show. And we got comments from all over the world. We have another one for you, which is from Japan, all the way from Japan.
Yes, Sita. We have a listener, Alo-san, who wrote us. He listens to the show in Japan, which is where he calls home. And he says that he's actually a huge ginger fan, and he was sharing with us how he uses ginger for health benefits. And he says that he actually makes a dried ginger powder from the ginger that he gets at the farmer's market and then uses it during cold season because, in his experience, dried ginger is more powerful than fresh ginger when it comes to warming the body. So he uses it to make really quick honey ginger teas. He grinds it in his food processor to make it a powdered form, and then he can also add it to soups and all kinds of things. But what he actually does, which I love because this is the traditional way of drying it, is he really slices thin pieces of ginger and then dries it in the sun for 2 to 3 days before he grinds it in his food processor. But he had a really cute tip. He said it's really thin and it's light, as in it's not heavy at all when it's dried. So make sure that you cover the slices while they're drying. Otherwise, they're going to be, quote unquote, gone with the wind.
Oh, that is very sweet. And yes, ginger, this is the time. This is the time of colds. Sita, you have a recipe for ginger honey. What do? You have this brew that works miracles.
It's kind of like what Alo-san was talking about, a honey ginger tea, except I also use lemon juice and cayenne pepper. And it's really easy. I'll put the recipe on Facebook. But basically what I do is, you know, I juice my lemons, I juice my ginger, I keep it in the fridge so that whenever I want to make one of these, all I have to do is boil water, combine those two ingredients with a spoonful of honey and a little bit of cayenne. And then I've got like an instant cold flu remedy. It helps to break up sinuses, and it's just nice, drink it all day,
warming.
Every
sinensis. So interesting, just really quick on that, is that they actually did a study in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry in 2010. It found that dried ginger was found to have slightly more antioxidants than fresh ginger.
Oh, really?
Oh, so he's right.
Makes sense if you concentrate it.
But you can use dried ginger following Alo-san's recipe from Japan. Thank you again for that comment, all the way to Japan. Shout out. Or you can use fresh ginger, or
certainly
you can use ginger juice.
Exactly.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
All three.
Yeah.
Either way. And we will put that up on, indeed, on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation, where you can follow the show and get all the great recipes and tips and tricks on how to pick produce and store produce and make honey ginger tea or not. Again, that's facebook.com/anorganicconversation. Kristen, again, our associate producer, can we put that up on Facebook?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the recipe myself.
Okay, great. So this will be up with the airing of this show right now. If you go to facebook.com/anorganicconversation, you can see what we're doing here. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And today we are talking about the change within, sustaining intentions and resolutions, that and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
SPUD stands for Sustainable Produce Urban Delivery. SPUD delivers the highest quality organic produce and the best locally sourced grocery items one can find directly to your doorstep. It's easy, it's convenient, and it supports your local economy. On every delivery day, SPUD takes at least 100 cars off the road that would have otherwise been driving to the grocery store. Reduce your carbon footprint, save time, and save money when grocery shopping with SPUD. Place your order today at spud.com. That's SPUD.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching.
Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Our topic today is the change within, sustaining intentions and resolutions. It's all about the new year resolutions today in this third week of the new year. But before we dive into this topic, we're starting off with something beautiful and healthy and completely in line with shedding some old skin, literally. Here's our very own chef Sita, Sitarani Palomar, and her holistic bite.
Ooh, I got a double sound effect this week. Thank you, Helga. Well, it's kind of, the holistic bite is kind of my health tip of the week, like Helga said. And this month, I'm looking at new habits for wellness, particularly detoxing our lives to make way for the new. And last week, I talked about lemon water in the morning to help increase your metabolism and also alkalize after your nightly detox while you sleep. And this week, I want to talk about a non-dietary approach that I love. It's body brushing. Body brushing is this ancient beauty technique that has been used around the world for centuries. They use it in China, Japan, ancient Greece, India. And I love hearing that because for me, harnessing the wisdom of traditional cultures for modern day living and modern day beauty is really, I mean, that's sustainable, right? If they've been doing it for thousands of years, it works. It does some benefit, does some good. So the thing about body brushing is that it exfoliates your skin and it also tones and tightens your skin. And it's really a simple and short routine. It takes about 5 minutes and it's going to stimulate your circulation, not just your blood circulation, but also your lymphatic system, which allows your body to better flush out toxins. So what you do is you choose a firm bristle brush. You want something that's comfortable and soft and it's not scratchy, but still firm at the same time. And some people, they don't use a brush. They'll use a loofah or they'll use a bath glove. You can use a washcloth too. And some people do it dry, some people do it wet. Personally, I do dry brushing. I know that a lot of people, traditional, like I said, in the traditional cultures, they did more dry brushing than wet brushing. But you begin at your feet and you do these short vertical strokes a few at a time in the same spot, and you progress up your legs and pay extra attention at the back of your knees, which is a great place for additional circulation. I then move on to my arms and brush towards my torso. Every time you brush, you're moving towards your core. Some traditions, depending on the philosophy, will say that you want to move towards your first chakra. Some people say you move towards your belly button. Some people say you move towards your heart. So find the one that resonates with you. But you're doing kind of these short or intermediate length strokes across your body while moving into your center. And then in what you consider your trouble areas, you can do a circular motion, and that will help to, believe it or not, break up fat deposits on your body. So it helps to prevent and reduce cellulite. So this is a really great, like I said, short technique, about 5 minutes. Getting a brush that has a long handle will help you get hard to reach spots like your back, and it really polishes your skin. So after you do your body brushing routine, shower and finish with a really clean organic body lotion to replenish your skin, and you will just see such a tremendous glow and tightening and also feel really rejuvenated. So I'll post tips for how to do this online, but I encourage people to try this. If you've never done it before, you may find a new habit for beauty and increased vitality. That's your holistic bite.
Thank you. Thanks again, Chef Sitarani Palomar, for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of healthy living and beauty. And as always, the Holistic Bite is brought to you by the natural beauty company Echo Bella, offering a wonderful line of body care products and intelligent cosmetics. Is there anything that comes to mind quickly what you can use? You do it dry. Do you prepare the skin with a toner from Cabela?
No, you don't. It would really be afterwards that you would apply any of your product, whether it's a body oil that has essential organic essential oils, or if you were to use an aloe vera based or coconut butter based or olive oil based, all of those ingredients in the organic products from Ecobella, but that kind of body lotion, you would do all of that afterwards. And it's just a really great way to get very nourishing ingredients in at the topical level.
And of course, all of Ecobella products are preservative-free, gluten-free, and cruelty-free. Check it out, ecobella.com, and let us know what you think. Again, that website is ecobella.com. And I believe there's free shipping now as well.
Yes.
So go to the site and give us some feedback.
What about free brushing? Do they have free brushing?
I'm not sure. Why don't you let us know next week, Mark?
Yeah, Mark, I saw your eyebrows go up as I was giving this segment. You told me before
we
got
into...
Yeah,
they need some brushing too, actually. Thank you, Sita, for the holistic bite. Yes, shedding some old skin. This is the third week of 2013, and some of us might be struggling to keep their commitments. Our topic on today's show is the change within. Sustaining intentions and resolutions. Why do we set intentions? Why are some of them so damn hard to keep? And what can we do to get the support we need to succeed? Today's guests are Helga Hellberg, Mark Mukahi, and Sita Rani Palomar, all experts in struggling to keep their resolutions. Well, it's something most of us do, and so we decided to share what we do or don't do in regard to New Year's resolutions.
Yes. Well, we're as much experts as anybody is on the topic because everybody in the world has tried their hand at having resolutions. And I think it's great that Mark had cited this study where 63% of people have found that they've been able to stay on track. But for those people who have not, we want to dive into that topic. And I think the most obvious place to begin is asking, why do we make resolutions in the first place? What is the intention and what are we hoping to accomplish with that kind of a commitment?
Mark, do you want to lead us off? I know you have some, which we'll get into in a minute, but why do you make some? Why do you make them every year?
Well, for me, it's like the end of December is a very reflective time for me, and it's always about what I think I could be doing better, or what I want for my life, or and how I can make a difference in my own life and the world around me. So that the new year actually seems to really make sense. For some people, it's their birthday. For some people, it's the beginning of the school year. But the new year seems to make a lot of sense to me as far as just saying, okay, I want to create change for myself and for the world around me.
It's actually interesting when you look at nature and ecology, there is a death occurring, right? In the seasons, every plant has a life cycle. For humans, actually, our lives, because we build shelter over the winter and we have clothing, and yes, we go through the seasons, but it never really, our life is not directly affected by an annual death as so many things in nature. So using the calendar or not, whatever you want to use as that starting point, but as you said, Mark, the wintertime lends itself to it, and the peer support or the peer pressure from the world around you starting the year off with something new and beautiful, it is that time that, you know, using the end or the death of the year prior to, with the intention to start something new in the new year, a new birth, a new growth of something that's important to you, I think it's a beautiful notion.
Yeah, well, there are cultures that do that. I mean, Yom Kippur in the Jewish tradition is a really great example. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, and it's at the end of the year of the calendar, the Jewish calendar, and it's a time to atone for all of your sins of the previous year before you go into the next year. So I think that this is something that we're doing in modern culture by setting a resolution. In some ways, to me at least, it's always seemed like it's a way to rebalance whatever seemed out of balance in your previous year. So like I said earlier, I've had kind of this recurring theme over, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, that this year I'm going to be better about returning phone calls and emails to friends who live far away. And that's because I felt this really extreme imbalance in my life where I was not as communicative as I wanted to be. So I think that that's, for a lot of people, where the resolution comes from is, what didn't I do last year that I want to change this year?
Yeah, there's that aspect for sure of guilt or not being in line with your own integrity. I just remember, though, I have this ritual of new moon prayers. And it's, you don't have to do it in the January 1st and then, you know, fail or succeed by March and then not have intentions for the rest of the year. It's actually any day. You could start something, and if you make it celebratory, for example, around a new moon, it's based on the philosophy that there's a the wheel of the zodiac, the new moon rises in a new sign, shedding the new light of the new moon onto that characteristic of that sign, always in line with the season and overall, you know, where the year is at. So May could be, you know, keeping the house clean, or April is cleaning up the house, and as a metaphor and literally. And so setting your monthly intentions with the character of what is supported by, you know, a moon cycle, it almost doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It's a wonderful reminder for me, and I believe in it. I'm just saying it, you know, you don't need to believe in the Western calendar if you follow another tradition or philosophy or belief. Whatever works for you, it could be the blossoming of cherry flowers on a tree that realizes the beginning of something new and growing, and with that you bind your intention to you know, improve your life, better yourself, whatever you want to do.
I absolutely agree, and I think that echoes one of the other things in the statistic that Mark quoted earlier, which is shedding it in a favorable light. Instead of breaking an old habit, make it about creating a new habit. And with the mm-hmm. Newman prayers, for example, and really with what I think is at the heart of a New Year's resolution, is the intention setting.
Yes. And speaking of which, Mark.
Well, actually, I was just, I wanted to just comment on what you said about making choices with intention. And there was a woman named Melissa Joy, once I read this quote, and it says, "To not choose is a choice unto itself. So choose wisely, trust, let go, and allow for it to unfold." And when we're not choosing to make resolutions, or we are choosing to make resolution, either way, we're making a choice about
absolutely
doing something. You're making a conscious choice to either do nothing or do something. Mm-hmm. And that new moon thing allows you to reevaluate that every month. And I really love that, because it's not just this one time a year. On my birthday, every month I'm going to look at myself and go, oh, okay, here's where I am. This is where I want to go, or this is what I can be. I love that.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we're speaking about the change within, sustaining intentions and resolutions today, and how to keep our promises to ourselves. Yes.
So speaking of promises to ourselves.
Exactly. I knew.
you set it up. I knocked it down. Helge.
Mark. No, let's start with Mark.
Oh, way to delay it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, let's hear it. What did
you... Oh, you want me to start with me asking Helge?
No. What's yours, Mark? I know you're always a very thoughtful, introspective on those topics.
Well, last year was a year of really kind of being so completely out of balance for me that there were so many areas of my life where I was not in integrity. And
you traveled 280
300
days
of the year,
yeah.
Or something.
And so I, you know, in looking at all that, I said, okay, what are the areas that presented themselves where I really want to make a conscious change in my life? And for those, that's what I looked at for this year. And I actually chose 5 as a
gotta okay. love it.
But they all are tied into the same thing for me. And one is living fearlessly and saying yes to invitations that come my way. Creating my own invitations without putting story behind them, which means that I'm not going to make up a story of how you're going to answer before you've even answered.
Mm-hmm.
Being present with myself and those around me. Honoring my promises and creating sustainable commitments, because one of the areas that I found last year where I was completely out of balance is I made commitments that I didn't honor because I was just trying to make everyone happy. And that was not sustainable, and it wasn't an integrity. But
well, everyone didn't include you.
Everyone. Well, it didn't include myself or anybody else.
It often doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where I said I've been making sustainable commitments this year, things I can actually accomplish and do.
Good for you. We'll check in with you on that in a couple of months.
probably at the new moon.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you have I liked what you said at the beginning too about living fearlessly, mm-hmm. because I remember the very first quote that I memorized as a young girl, and I can't even remember how old I was, but it was pretty impressive to me to memorize a quote at that age, was, "There's only one of you for all time. Fearlessly be yourself."
I love that. Yeah.
And so, Mark, what you're saying here is this: these intentions, while there are five of them, all come down to the same basic principle, which is honoring yourself so that you are then able to honor other people. It's like you said, not making a choice is making a choice. So you're making a choice, and in firmly saying yes, everything else will fall into line. Mm-hmm. Everything else will fall into line, honestly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for you.
Sita?
Mine is, you know, it could be really complicated. I felt the need to get very specific about what my resolution was. And Helga asked me this the other day, and he said, tell it to me in one word. And I was like, it's like five sentences. And he said, no, try. It's self-knowledge. And I think that that's a really, at least for me in the way that I'm experiencing the world right now, it's a really apropos time to be exploring self-knowledge. Helga, you were talking about the new moon prayers, and I remember, I think it was December's prayers in the Sagittarius moon, were the quest for truth. And so it's this time that we're moving into, which we explored quite a bit last week in our episode with Caroline Casey and what 2013 is all about. This is about bringing to light what is true, getting to the essence of what is. And it's, Mark, it's kind of to what you're saying about fearlessly being yourself, but it's like really honing in on what is the simple, easy, honest joy of myself and how I make my choices. So,
wonderful,
Helga,
beautiful.
Your turn. And,
yeah, now that you've been waiting for us to say something, then we'd love to hear yours.
More ping pong.
Perfect.
Actually, I got to play with a friend for, you know, just an hour and a half. And of course, it's a metaphor, but it's also real. I had so much fun playing ping pong. I always loved it. I never really, you know, never pursued it in any way. But what it stands for is allowing to play, really. Mm-hmm. I love to dance. I love music. And there's not the time. I'm not making the time right now to be an active musician right now, but it's really easy to find a venue where once a week you can go and dance for an hour if you wanted to find it. So my commitment is to play more, dance more, and play more ping pong.
And I bet you have some moves, too. You used to have an 80s dance show
You should see my backhand.
Yeah, no, I was talking about
talking
your dance
ping pong.
Moves. Yeah,
yes.
I was talking about your dance
You're
moves.
Listening
yeah.
to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg. Laughing is Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
We're shedding light on shedding skin, the change within, sustaining intentions and resolutions on this week's episode of An Organic Conversation. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with how to keep those resolutions. Stay tuned for more.
At Testa Epicure's Guild, we provide tea and coffee from the regions of the world known to produce the finest of their kind. Always certified organic and fair trade, we stand for exceptional taste and highest quality. Every cup of our tea and coffee is connected to the soil and the people working the land. We have searched the world for the best ingredients and invite you to enjoy Testa tea and coffee. Find Desta at your natural food store or online at Desta.com. That is DESTA.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Thank you.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic today is the change within, sustaining intentions and New Year's resolutions for this year. In the beginning of this year, now in the third week, or every month, through whatever kind of ceremony or ritual you might establish for yourself. But we are in the third week, and we were talking before the break about our personal resolutions, a more balanced life. In Mark's case, finding greater personal truth, this the quest for self-truth. In Sita's case, more ping pong. In my case, and why are they so hard to keep, and what can we do to keep them? Sita, what is your intention of actually to keep your intention?
Well, actually, yes. Yeah,
why are
I
they so
be,
hard to keep? What is?
I want to be really specific about what I'm saying, because these intentions, these are more intentions than resolutions. And I think that that's really great, because it's easier to honor the intention.
What's the difference?
Okay, so I don't know that there's necessarily a difference, but so I come up with my intention, which is it's a quest for self-knowledge, self-truth. But the way that I get there is by committing to do yoga and meditation 6 times a week. So that's what becomes the challenge, is how do I keep that commitment? And I think that it's when you get to those specific things, like Mark said, the top four resolutions are to lose weight, or to go to the gym and eat healthier and stop smoking. Those are really specific things that you can mark and say, I have succeeded, or I have failed, because I've made it to the gym 6 times a week, or I picked up a cigarette. So those are where it becomes really tricky to keep the resolution. My intention is for greater self-knowledge. So even if I don't honor my commitment to get to the yoga studio or sit on the mat for meditation 6 times a week, as long as
I
remember,
doesn't change.
My intention doesn't change. So for me, that's how you keep the resolution. And it's about looking at more than just what is the physical application of your resolution.
Totally great point. And I actually believe, now that you're saying it, that every wish, or what you call that intention, every intention is based on body, mind, and spirit. We don't just want to quit smoking, really, if you look at it. We want to, be healthy or be present to what is, or we don't want to. It's usually, when you really look at things, it's never just one thing that's behind it. There's a greater self-love desire, or there's a having a healthier lifestyle, or being able to hike up the mountain, but not for the physical activity to blindfoldedly hike up the mountain, but actually to stand on the mountain and look out onto the ocean. So there is, and I believe in every New Year's resolution, and now that you're saying it, it's really present to me. And there's the body aspect, the physical, the mind, the mental, and the spiritual of what's behind that wish for betterment of what you want to, break or invite, and that leads to a really measurable task or habit that you either need to break or again invite or bring into your life, of doing something new. Mark, how's that for you?
This is actually really perfect, because when Mark was talking about his 5 intentions, and I was like, these are really beautiful, these are really inspiring, and how does he plan to keep those? You know what I mean? Not that you can't keep them, but I found myself wondering, what is the action associated with it? Because even when you do have these intentions that are mindful, there does seem to need to be a physical application, or does there, Mark?
Well, first of all, when I was thinking of these things, for me, is I was thinking about what I wanted as opposed to what I didn't want in my life, right? So I don't want to be this. I don't want to be this. I want these things. And so that right there changes the way my whole thought process on it. And another thing for me is looking at being realistic. You said it perfectly, is that you don't have to have this black or white, either or, thought process around your intentions, because we are human, right? And if we allow ourselves to look at it that way, it's like you don't scold yourself because you didn't make it to yoga today. What you do is you say, okay, I didn't make it to yoga today, I'm going to make it tomorrow, but today I'm going to actually sit with myself and be on my mat. You always talk about being on your mat. Yeah, you didn't get to the studio, but if you took 5 minutes and were on your mat and were present with yourself, then I believe you honored your commitment.
also the intention didn't fail. You know, if exactly. your intention is to be more mindful or to greater self-awareness or more joyous or more playful, in my case, just because one day I didn't do X, what I said measurably I would do, for 20 minutes, find a new dance club every week. If that's my Monday intention and I fail, doesn't mean that I don't want more playfulness mm-hmm. in my life. So the intention is actually unfaced. You can have that intention and you cannot fail if you have that intention, even though you might not get to what you said you would be doing. But then again, Mark, you're right. You pick it up the next day. If your entire New Year's prayer or intention or New Year's resolution is based on I will not smoke and you have one cigarette, you basically failed. Even though you can pick that, can stop again next day right away. But if it's about I want to live a healthier life and yes, I will not smoke. And if I have a cigarette in 2 weeks once, then I had one cigarette in 2 weeks. That's way better than mm-hmm. I ever had before.
Right.
So you get right back to it next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. That's a really good point. And the support is there. If you get into the measurable part of your intention, I don't want to eat X or I do want to do this or that. And you're right, Mark, focusing on the positive of what you want. Right? Every Carolyn Casey says that, and everyone that we have here on the show, focusing on what's positive rather than saying, I don't want to smoke anymore, but to say, I want to be as healthy and as much endurance as I can because I love traveling, I love hiking. This is limiting me. So I want to get to a half marathon or to be able to climb a mountain or whatever it may be, or walk with your nephews or nieces or grandchildren. That is a positive goal that you're achieving. And everyone will tell you that that is way easier than focusing on what you want to break. And there's a great deal of support out there now from people you can work with to even smartphone apps.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to dive into that now. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And the topic today is The Change Within, with three wonderful guests here in the studio, Mark Mulcahy, Sita Rani Palomar, and Helge Hellberg. Sustaining intentions and New Year's resolutions, what they are, why we make them, why they are sometimes so hard to keep, and what we can do to support our intentions. We spoke about body, mind, and spirit, and when it comes to measurable success. Yes,
well, I just wanted to acknowledge Kristen for being able to get Helga on the show. We tried for weeks to get Helga on the show, and with his schedule, it was nearly impossible, but today we got him.
That's Kristen Ponga, of course, our associate producer. Thank you again, Kristen. Kristen, what are your New Year's resolutions? Do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2013?
To give up candy.
Really?
And how are you intending on doing that?
Eating more fruit.
Very good. That was kind of scripted, Mark. Did you guys talk before?
I believe is genetic.
But yes. Can you say that one more time, Kristen?
Fruit is going to be my new vice because I have a sweet tooth. And I think my sweet tooth is genetic, but I know that fruit will satisfy that sweet tooth.
Yes, wonderful. Your new sweet tooth will be organic. And in that realm exactly, if we seek support from making it public, from speaking with your friends, really sincerely asking them to support you in your intention, that can go so very far. If you don't make it like a hidden, standing at the fridge at night, Marcus, yes, smiling.
Well,
and just in terms of the sweet tooth, I do want to point out the power of smartphones, whether you have one or not, but there are now apps around weight loss, and I found this great Livestrong app. It's called My Plate. You just log in your calories for that day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can actually put in so-and-so company organic soy milk, and it suggests it has it on there, and it knows exactly, based on the quantity, how much calories that particular product has. I don't know how much data went into this app, but I found anything that you measure, anything that you log, really changes its character. You have 10 days where you can see, wow, I've been good and I've only been not good one day. That's way better than thinking, I think I was good and, so far so good and, oh, see, there I had my bad day and now I'm off. No, you're not. It really puts things in perspective when you measure and keep a record.
Well, and like Kristen was saying, you know, I'm going to give up candy. Well, you could actually change that around and say, I'm going to eat more fruit. Right. Then that changes that. Because even if you ate one orange that you didn't eat, then you have already accomplished what you're looking for.
And Mark's yummy fruit, Earl's organic yummy fruit.
And, you know, Helga, you were talking about it. And all the things that I was reading when I was looking on how to keep your resolutions, it says, don't keep your resolution secret. The more people you tell, the more support you have. And find a buddy. So whether it's an app, whether it's a person, someone who like-minded. They always say that an exercise program will be more successful if you're doing it with somebody.
Absolutely.
Right? So you know, if you're trying to lose weight, don't concentrate on 30 pounds. Concentrate on 5 pounds with your friend and actually tell each other what you're doing. I mean, those are the ways that people find success, those small little baby steps, right?
Yeah, and reward yourself. Every week or every month or whatever works for you to say, and not, you know, if it's a food-related thing, don't pick out. It's not the point. But buy yourself something nice or go on a really nice hike or, you know, take a friend out to the movie and say, today I'm going to celebrate that I've succeeded for 30 days. And
with my intention, yes. With my resolution.
Yeah, and have a large popcorn.
Or not.
or a medium popcorn, I should say.
Yeah.
Or bring grapes to the theater, which I love to do.
Or a small popcorn.
Mark is like, popcorn is the only way.
Yes, sometimes popcorn is the only way. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we should be checking in on this topic again in, you know, a few weeks and see.
How about on the new moon? Or close to the new moon?
Oh, I going. Love that idea.
Yeah. Close to it, whatever our show is close to that.
That's fantastic. Well, and I want to say too, I want to hear our listeners' resolutions and intentions too, because it's the collective thought and it's this instant support group, like Helga was saying, this is how we are successful. So please share with us what you guys are doing this year to create more sustainable change for yourself. And we would love to be a support voice for you in that.
What is your resolution and how are you gonna support it? Are you going to measure or support you in this quest? And Mark, I can't echo. If you have a partner in crime in this way, be it exercise or not, it doesn't even really matter. That's the whole peer support, the whole sponsor idea. It's just such a different experience when you don't do it alone. Even if you do it alone, but if somebody's present to it, wonderful. And this week's episode, New Year's Resolutions, Shedding Some Old Skin. Coming up next is our wonderful talking about produce and integrating more produce into your life.
Yeah, Kristen, pay attention.
Yeah, Mark's What's in Season, but we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
It's getting better all the time.
Is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earl's Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earl's Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earl's Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
SPUD stands for Sustainable Produce Urban Delivery. SPUD delivers the highest quality organic produce and the best locally sourced grocery items one can find directly to your doorstep. It's easy, it's convenient, and it supports your local economy. On every delivery day, SPUD takes at least 100 cars off the road that would have otherwise been driving to the grocery store. Reduce your carbon footprint, save time, and save money when grocery shopping with SPUD. Place your order today at spud.com. That's SPUD.com.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
Our topic that we just spoke about was the change within sustaining intentions and New Year's resolutions. And Kristen Ponger, our associate producer's intention for this year is to eat more produce and less candy. And how fitting, because what's coming up is no less but what's in season. Here's our very own produce expert, Mark Mulcahy.
Well, today we're talking about a fruit whose trees were brought back from Bahia, Brazil, by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the late 1800s, and it ended up being kept alive in dishwater in Riverside, California, and today is one of the most popular oranges in the market.
Really?
Where did you dig that out?
That's great. Dishwater.
From the dishwater pan. Right,
right. The dishwater sink.
Yeah, and so Earl, you know what we're talking about today?
It's got to be the navel orange. Don't you think?
Well, absolutely. Today, of course, to start the new year, we have Earl Herrick, as we always have, the voice of the market from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, California. Yes, we're talking about the navel orange.
And isn't it great that it's in production, it's available in the stores in the time that we need it, in winter. You know, when we're all challenged with all sorts of... Little illnesses or whatnot.
Yeah.
Vitamin C hit.
Yeah.
So when those Australian navels are here in the summer, that means we don't need them then, or we do need them there then as well?
Well, you know, that's what I say, but everybody's got their own tune that they sing. And I don't need navels in the summer. That's very true. I stick with peaches and nectarines.
There you go. There you go.
I do say there's nothing worse than a cold in the summer.
Yes.
That's right. Isn't that what Hemingway said? You know, the season is long, though. The navel season will stretch into the end of spring and early summer, through April into May.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the wonderful part of it. It goes on for a long time, and it is one of the most popular pieces of fruit. It's generally considered for a lot of people as the best eating out of hand fruit because it's big, thick, skin generally easy to peel, seedless. The sections come apart, and it's wonderfully succulent, and a lot of times navels are fairly large, so it could be a good handful.
I know I have a large navel.
Interesting.
So Earl, let's talk about the navel season. What's going on out there? How's the pricing? What's the year look like?
Yeah. Well, since it is so long, it's hard to talk about what it's going to be throughout. But up to now, it's been a good season. It's been just wet enough, just cold enough, good irrigation, good setting of sugar and color. So we're going to see very good pricing. A lot of promotable fruit around. This is a time to really stack up and enjoy it. And the fruit, I think, is really right now starting to get the sugar level that everybody's going to like, because you can go out early in November and early December, and the growers like to get the fruit out for the holidays, but after the first of the year, that's when the sugar really starts to set.
Well, it's kind of like, Earl, it's kind of like Lucy on Charlie Brown. She says she never eats December snowflakes. She never catches them on their tongue because they're just not right. You and I wait for January navel, right?
Well, Mark, as you remember, back in Christmas, I had some navels around the house, and you said, "Now, I don't think I'm going to eat those." So, yeah,
you too.
We have to wait till they get pretty sweet.
Well, can I ask a question? Because I don't really understand. I know how navels look differently than other oranges, but how do they taste differently? Or
I think that it's got a the sweetness. A good navel, the sweetness is more than just sugar. There's lots of great flavors that are there. Some people can taste some spicy stuff. stuff. Some people say vanilla. Some people go into honey. And it is the biggest piece of fruit you can have outside of a grapefruit. So there's a good amount of food there. Where you get a tangerine, it's little. You know, a lot of times you peel it, there's seeds, and then there's nothing there. So I think the appeal is in the general overall sweetness and flavor and the amount that you get. What do you think, Mark?
Well, no, I completely agree. And one thing I think is the selling point for Navel's Orange is also the texture of the interior flesh. Sure. Is that it's really thick and meaty, and people really like that. And it's low acid; it's not high acid like a Valencia orange. So, are the prices going to be pretty decent? Do you think? I mean, now, if people are going out and buying Navel oranges, you're saying that they're good to eat.
Yeah, I think you're going to be seeing 79 cents a pound for some promotable stuff. Sometimes the promotion prices focus on the smaller pieces of fruit, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's just more of them, so they're a little cheaper. So, yeah, and you know, you can always get them in the bags, the cello bags. Sometimes they come in 3 or 4 pounds. There's some value there, and you know, you probably talk about how to store them. But I did want to briefly talk a little bit about the geography. They're in a mild weather. It doesn't have to be too mild, but so you're talking about most of California down through the Gulf and Florida. So it's mostly California and Florida, but all along the coast is where you're going to find the naval production.
Well, that's perfect, Earl. Thank you so much. So we'll just keep it in the bag as you recommend, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week on What's in Season.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it, too. Always good to hear your voices.
Likewise.
Thank you. Thanks, Earl.
Thanks so much, Earl.
Thanks a lot, Earl.
Talk to you later.
You know, interesting thing, just to finish this segment up, is I was mentioning that those original Navel orange trees ended up in Riverside, California. The original two trees are still alive.
No.
And they're still producing fruit today. And they came here in the late 1800s. So pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
Pretty hardy. So that's what's in season for this week. Go out and get yourself some navels.
How do you pick the perfect navel?
Well, you go to the tree. And no, you always, as you guys have come
heavy
to know.
Heavy for its size.
Heavy for its size, because that means it's going to have a lot of juice. The skin should be, you know, it shouldn't be dull. It should be nice and shiny, and it should be without a lot of blemishes, and it should have a nice fresh scent. There should be no fermentation or no moldy scent when you smell where the actual navel is. That's the best way to do it.
And is that a good juicing orange, Mark?
Actually not. I mean, you could juice it right now. If you juiced it right now and drank it right now, you'd be fine. But it doesn't have a lot of acid, so it doesn't hold up. As a matter of fact, they recommend a Valencia orange instead of a navel orange for juicing, because a navel orange it'll start separating within 24 hours.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great question.
Thank you, Mark. And that's What's in Season. And yes, you're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we are almost out of time in this week's episode, but we have a new exciting format in this show, and we are looking forward to this year. So many great topics coming up.
I know. I'm really looking. I mean, last year was incredible. We had so many exciting conversations with authors and all of our guests. And this year we are looking forward to doing shows on food in hospitals and about, you know, animals in captivity, what their life is like and how we can help promote more compassion and freedom. And there's just so much to talk about in this year. And I can't wait to bring it.
You know, what I really love about the show now, since we started it a few years ago now, Helga, is that it's gone from a food show to a show that's just about everything. You know, listening one week to the oceans another week to baking pies, which we ran. And it's just such a more complete show. It just fills me with so much possibility every week when I'm in the studio working with you two, having these topics. It's so great.
Yeah. And for me, it is still absolutely a food show, which is so funny. The red thread that I feel and see every week is that food and food production and land use, whether it affects our consciousness, our health, you know, socioeconomic pieces, the environment, you can name it. We say it several times throughout the year in shows that food and food production touches every part of society, every level of society, everything that makes this world tick or no tick. If you look at non-organic production, it's that extreme. You can track every challenge that we face as a society in one way or another to the way we grow our food and the way we eat. So it is still absolutely a food show. And yeah, I love the bandwidth from Animals in Captivity to, what did you say, Sita, coming up, our food in hospitals. Mm-hmm. And yet it's all about agriculture. That's the culture of agriculture. That's how far it goes. So yes, when we choose wisely, we can really steer the society in a wonderful direction.
And a great thing about this year now is that we have chosen wisely, because we've chosen to have Helga's Organic Moment again back on the show.
Yes,
we started.
Do you have one this week?
Yeah, we have almost 200 episodes coming up in a few weeks with an organic conversation since we started in May of 2009. And I started off with an organic moment, kind of a reflection of the week of what moved me way back when. And we kind of dropped that because of time constraints, but I think there's time this week. So yes, I do have one. It's on the Mayan calendar. We heard a lot for months and months and months before December 21st about the Mayan calendar and the world ending. But now that the world actually hasn't ended, I do want to reflect on what Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, said about the Mayan calendar closing a 5,125-year cycle on December 21st of last year. And of course, starting with the very next day, now in a new 5,125-year cycle. According to ancient beliefs, this new era is one of higher new consciousness. And I was very moved by the words of Evo Morales, again, the president of Bolivia, to the UN General Assembly last month. He said, according to the Mayan calendar, the 21st of December 2012 marks the end of the time and the beginning of no time. It is the end of selfishness and the beginning of brotherhood. It is the end of individualism and the beginning of collectivism. The science know very well that this area marks the end of an anthropocentric life and the beginning of a biocentric life. It is the end of hatred and the beginning of love, the end of lies and the beginning of truth. It is the end of sadness and the beginning of joy. It is the end of division and the beginning of unity. Again, that's Evo Morales, president of Bolivia. So whether you believe in the Mayan ancient wisdom or not, here's to 2013, here's to the next 5,000 years, and to a new zeitgeist based on love and joy.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thank you for listening.
An Organic Conversation is a proud production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Kristen Ponger. Studio engineer, Robert Costa. Underwriting production, Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And we love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions and suggestions to share at anorganicconversation.com. And that includes New Year's resolutions.
Yes, send us your New Year's resolutions or send us your resolutions via Facebook. And also, if we're in a new year, any topic that you're interested in hearing, we're interested in exploring. So send it our way.
Yes, and how you intend to keep your resolutions.
And send us your love. It's the new Mayan calendar. What? 5,000 years of love and brotherhood. Let's send us your love and brotherhood.
Yes, send us your love and brotherhood. And you can follow us also on facebook.com/anorganicconversation with all recipes, including the ginger, honey,
cayenne lemon tea. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yum. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we will be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.